Good afternoon.
Again, really appreciate everyone's presence here. If you'd like to, go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is more of a short talk, I guess you could say. If you're using the Red Pew Bible, that's page 1363, 1363. It was funny because I had talked to Lane and William and Robert, and I told them I had this great idea for both this invitation and then the bulletin article. And then what you're about to hear was supposed to be the bulletin article. But when I started writing it, it was one of those bad things where I kind of got excited. And so I was like, oh, well, we're going to have to talk about this. And so you'll get the thing about the guy shooting himself in the leg later. But for now, we're going to talk about 1 Timothy 4. And I think a lot of us can relate to this in one way, shape, or form. Have you ever been in a position where you said to yourself, I need to lose a little weight, or I may need to go on a diet, or something along the lines of, I think I just need to get in a little bit better shape, I need to be more flexible, or you've been in a position where you have to go to physical therapy, you have to rehabilitate an injury. If you have, then what you understand is this wonderful concept called bodily discipline. Because what bodily discipline is, that means you recognize that your body needs certain things. It means you need to train your body in a certain way. You need to eat certain things. And also there's that other side of the coin where you have to avoid certain things. And there's certain things you just do not do. And that's really what bodily and physical discipline is. But understand, it is this concept of actually being a discipline. And a discipline is training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. Or it's a system of rules governing conduct or activity. And understand that word discipline and training, they're used hand in hand. We have somebody that quotes from the Bible and says, discipline your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's not just talking about corporal punishment. This is what it's talking about. You're establishing a set of rules. You're establishing a moral character. You're establishing a path, what you want them to do. And we can do this physically. Physically, in this earth, right here and now, we can establish for ourselves things that we want to do that will aid us, that will help us to be better. And these don't have to be complicated rules. This can be something like, I need to get 8 hours of sleep a night. I need to eat my vegetables. I asked my kids, what does it take to be healthy? The first reply out of the mouth was eat salsa. I don't think that was on my list. I had eat your vegetables, but salsa, I guess, has tomatoes in it, so that counts as a fruit, not a vegetable. Oh, I give up. Anyway, eat your vegetables. But there's other things like bathing, washing your hands. Those are physical things we understand. Now, what we have for us as Christians, as believers in God, is we recognize that there are things out there that have a lot of truth, that in this whole concept of bodily discipline. But the problem with that is it's just focused on this life only. What we have been given to understand is there's other disciplines out there. There's other training that is out there. And that's what Paul is trying to focus Timothy on in 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 11. Let's read that together. Paul says to Timothy, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Now, in the context of this passage, Timothy is dealing with people that Paul has actually warned him about. And he warns Timothy that some are going to depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. These are Christians. Christians are going to depart from the faith because they're going to focus on these other thoughts, these outward thoughts. Now remember, we've been going through James. So teaching of demons, earthly teaching, things that are focused only on this earth, things that are only being that type of emphasis. And you have in here, in Timothy 4, you have people that are telling you, you shouldn't get married. You shouldn't eat certain types of food. And the problem is, we know for a fact, God has given us a marriage for a specific purpose. God has given us these things for us to use. And so Paul tells Timothy, everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and by prayer. And then we come into verse 6. And what verse 6 tells us there is that put these things before the brothers. And what is he telling Timothy? He's telling him, instruct the brethren. Train the brethren in these things. Because he tells Timothy, being trained of the word and faith of the good doctrine that you have followed. You will be a good servant if this is what you're doing. Timothy has been trained. Timothy is still in training. Timothy is supposed to show other brethren how to be trained. And specifically, what we're training for is godliness. That's what we're training for. And what we have to realize is that when we talk about the concept of godliness, godliness is something that you can train for. Godliness, that training, it's going to involve adhering to something, holding on to something, and also abstaining or pushing yourself away from things. It's going to involve the realization that if you are being godly, you're going to see results. Just like those self-help things they do before and after photos, you really should have that with your Church of Christ or your Christian photo or you becoming what you were to what you are now. The old self is gone. The new self should look different. And that really leads us to that last point. Godliness is a way of life. It's not something you do half-heartedly. It's not something you do once a month or once a week. Godliness is every day of our lives. And that'll be our short talk for this afternoon. And again, it might seem like it's long, but it really is just a short talk. So hold on here. So godliness, it can be trained for. Now, that word godliness, of course, it comes from the word godly, which means just to be pious or dutiful in the context directly towards God. If you want to use godliness, that concept there, it means to be reverent or to show respect. Now, if you had a chance to read the Bolton article, there's a book that's out called The Practice of Godliness by Jerry Bridges. And I got to read a couple excerpts from that book while I was prepping for this lesson. And it was really cool that he brought up as his main character, or the main person he wanted us to see from the Bible, was Enoch. Because in Genesis 5:24, what did Enoch do? He walked with God. In Hebrews 11, verse 5, why is Enoch lifted up? Because what he did was pleasing to God. So if you want to participate in godliness, if you want to be considered godly, then your main focus is, you're supposed to, number one, walk with God, and number two, strive to be pleasing with God. Now that word godliness is also translated devout. In Acts 10, verse 2, and speaking of Cornelius, Cornelius was considered a devout man who feared God with all his household. And most of us here are familiar with Cornelius. And he's really a good character study, if you will, for us. Because Cornelius, he was a Gentile. More than likely, he did not grow up in the faith. And yet, by the time we encounter Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he's a devout man. He's a man who's known for his prayers. He's known for those prayers specifically being a sweet-smelling savor before God. And God is so impressed with him, he sends Peter to go talk to him. That's the type of man Cornelius was. When we think about Enoch, Enoch lived 365 years before God took him up, before he walked with God. Now, why are those two things important for us? I want us to understand that when we start out, we may not be godly people. And there's other passages in the Bible you can look at. But godliness is something that we can grow into, we can develop into. Godliness is something, according to Timothy, according to Paul, that we can train ourselves to be like. We can work towards it. It's not something that happens automatically, but it's something we do have to put our trust in and faith in God to guide us in and he will show us the way. And I love Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If we will allow God, God will lead us where he wants us to go. He will direct us where we want to go. And he will make us into what he wants us to be. Now, the thing is, God has already given us some basic instruction in that, right? God has told us things that we're supposed to hold on to, hold fast to, and things we're supposed to get rid of. That's where we get this idea of training. Again, in 1 Timothy 4, it says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. So what is Timothy supposed to hold on to? The words of faith and the good doctrine. I think everybody knows Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. If we're going to develop our faith, if we're going to grow our faith, we need to pay attention to the words of Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Again, all this goes back to being in Christ. But isn't it great to understand that there's a standard that is set out for us? It's not something that varies from person to person. It's not something that's of great debate. But God has laid out the standard that we're supposed to follow. God has laid out exactly what we are supposed to do. And we're not to be trained by or to focus on the random thoughts of teachings of men. Instead, we're supposed to train ourselves and focus on the sound words. And once we train ourselves, of course, we're supposed to implement those. We're supposed to use them. And we'll talk about that in a second. But that's the first part of it. Know what we're supposed to hold on to. Secondly, we're to have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Now, there's a specific context to 1 Timothy 4. But we know from James 4, 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1, Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sure you can think of a list that can pop into your head. There's a bunch of things that God tells us. Have no part in these things. Avoid such things as these. You know, do not do these things. Avoid these types of people. Rather, we know that there's things we're supposed to avoid. In 1 Timothy 4, you have a group of people that do not respect the Word of God. And so what they do is they're taking and offering something else other than the Word of God. They're replacing the Word of God. And they're trying to use that as their standard. And because they're doing that, they're going down the wrong path. They're going down the wrong direction. They think they are doing something that is pious and something that God has asked for. They're thinking by avoiding marriage, abstaining from marriage, refusing to be married, to be more holy, that they're doing what God says. And that's the exact opposite of what God says. That's not at all what he says in the Bible. And yet, to them, that is right. Because again, they flip things around. And brethren, this kind of leads us into passages like Romans 1, 21 through 23, which I know Lane referenced in his sermon this morning. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as a God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man's and bird and animals and creeping things. They became futile in their thinking. They thought they were wise because of what they heard from the world, because of what people gave them. And what actually happened was their inner being, their hearts, it was darkened. They couldn't see as well. And they became fools. And the scary thing is that can happen to any one of us. If you've ever been on a diet or an exercise program, or you're going through physical therapy or rehab, you have benchmarks. So you know what you came from and where you're going. And the thing is, we should be able to look at our lives and see, are we going down the path of foolishness? Or are we actually being trained? Are we actually becoming something different? And again, that's where you got that idea that training produces results. If you are training yourself for godliness, you will see different traits in your life. It will change you. Now, I was trying to come up with a really good passage for this, and I liked what is brought out in Titus chapter 2, and we'll be there shortly. To Timothy, he said, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. In this life, these are things that we are going to be saved, be able to see. And here's the list from Titus 2. But as for you, Paul to Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. So we're still paying attention to the Word of God. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Okay. So what characteristics should apply to our lives? Before you start breaking this off into, I am an older man, or I am an older woman, I am a young man, you just start characterizing yourself, don't look at it from that perspective. We're not actually studying Titus here. Look at these as traits that are found in every single Christian. What matches up? Well, if we look at this, we're supposed to be guided by godliness. So we're supposed to be sober. We're supposed to be dignified. We're supposed to have self-control. We're supposed to be sound in our faith, loving, patient, reverent, pure, kind, models of good works. We're supposed to show integrity, dignity, and sound speech. What part of that is male or female, old or young? It's not. Those are characteristics of godly, devout people. People who are following sound doctrine. People who are living up to the standard of sound words. People who are following the words of God in Christ. It's something we all do. And that's what we'll see in this life. And again, this isn't something we do once a week. If you're on a diet and you only try to not eat bad food one day out of the week, you've kind of got that whole thing reversed. It's not a very successful diet. If you only work out one time a week, it's not a very successful workout plan. There's some things that we have to do consistently, day in and day out, every day. And so that's what we have to realize. That's the same truth with godliness in a much greater sense. Godliness for us should be a way of life, a way we live each and every day. Let's read a larger passage together here. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 18. If you have your pew Bibles, it's page 1397, 1397. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 18. What manner of people ought we to be? Beginning in verse 8, it says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. And so he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist their own destruction, as they do with other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We are waiting for Christ. We have the godliness that is given to us that we can be trained in. And we can live in this life prepared for the next. We can eagerly look forward to the hastening and the coming day of the Lord. And that's something we do each and every day. It's how we live our lives. It's how we understand everything that we're going through right here and now. If you would, please bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we could take a moment to consider this other trustworthy saying, the saving that we can put our faith in and rely upon. And we ask, Father, as we think about godliness and the ways in which we can be trained for it, we ask, Father, that we do hold fast to your word, that we do spend some time in it, that we do reflect upon the fact that without it, we would not understand what it means to be your sons and daughters. And we ask, Father, that you guide us in this life, and that each and every day, as we have opportunity, we can partake of the wonderful blessings that you have given us. And more than that, Father, we can recognize that those are the blessings that you have given us, and they come completely and solely from you. Please help us to focus that and realize that, Father. Please strengthen us and encourage us in this life, and let us always be your devout people that follow you and understand that you have provided us the way, the truth, and the life, and we are living in that life. It's in your Son's blessed name we pray. Amen. So our invitation song is The Glory Land Way. And of course, it begins with that wonderful phrase, I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. So that's really simple. Are you in that way? Is that what you are partaking of? Are you training yourself for a hope and for a salvation? Or have you chosen a different path? If you haven't become a Christian yet and you want to, when we stand up to sing this song, please come forward. You can be baptized into Christ. If you are in the path, but you've stumbled, you've tripped, you've fallen, you're not training like you're supposed to, then you have a wonderful opportunity to repent of that. Either way, if either applies to you, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.